Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 9 April 2026, Hebrews.
All right. How does that sound? Better? We're getting this volume down. Before we get started, today is Saul. Her name is Solomon. Actually, it's Soledad, but I call her Solomon. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday. Saul and Gary, they're the best of the best. And guess what they have coming up this weekend? The Big 5-0. 50th anniversary this weekend. Happy anniversary. And Gary said, as soon as I said that, and it's gotten better and better and better and better. I said, well, of course, look who you're married to. Married to Saul. Of course it's going to get better and better and better. Happy birthday, happy anniversary. Fantastic. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Hebrews chapter 1. And I have been having so much fun studying Hebrews. I don't know what took me so long to get this book, but it's at the right time. It is so unique, so special. It puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the incomparable Christ in the first three verses, and then we have the preeminent Christ through verse 14, the rest of the first chapter. The spotlight is on Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And it's absolutely fantastic. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas report for April 8th. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, April 8th, was great. Pastor Olson taught our 11th lesson on the 23rd Psalm. First, the pastor reviewed the previous lesson on the shepherd and the sheep relationship, with Jesus as the noble shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Pastor Olson then explained seven areas of sheep helplessness, and we are the sheep. First of all, they have no sense of direction. They oftentimes go the wrong way. And therefore, They need the mind of Christ, the Word of God. And sometimes they need discipline. Secondly, they cannot cleanse themselves. Neither can we when we sin. So God provided the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. Third, they're helpless when injured, and therefore they need God's grace. Fourth, defenseless. They need eternal security. Five, they cannot find food or water, and therefore they need logistical grace, and God provides that for us day after day, temporal security. Easily frightened, and therefore you need the Word of God, Bible doctrine, and the 10 problem-solving devices God has for us. And seventh, they produce wool. That's divine good production. And that divine good production belongs to God and is for His glory. It's not for the sheep. Glory to God as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And, of course, your prayers are greatly appreciated, Rich Blair. Then he had an addendum. Also, the ladies will be joining the Upland Bible Church Prayer Warriors by praying for Pastor Olson. Boy, do I need prayer. Praying for Pastor Olson, the medical staff, and his knee replacement surgery, which is next week. And then we are in the process of starting another class at the Valencia Senior Living Facility. Rich Blair and Jerry Cahoon met with Veronica at the Valencia Senior Living Facility to see about starting an MP3 class with their residents. Veronica was very positive about the class and very accommodating. We will be holding the MP3 class on Thursdays at 10 a.m. The first class will be on Thursday, April 16th, and we will be playing the Heaven series, Rich is printing up some flyers to advertise the class at the center. Once again, if you would please pray that there is enough positive volition and the opportunity to bring these folks sound Bible teaching. Jerry Cahoon will be the primary facilitator. That's a fancy word, facilitator. I got to look at that Jerry. See, yeah, he looks like a facilitator, all right. I'll tell you. All right. The book of Hebrews stands out as a masterpiece of revelation from God. It is one of the most significant books in the canon of Scripture. In a very wonderful way, it provides the link between the dispensation of Israel and the dispensation of the church age where we are living right now. Hebrews explains many of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith, giving believers a solid foundation on which to grow up spiritually in Jesus Christ. The Epistle to the Hebrews also uniquely presents the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Crowned in heaven with glory and honor, Christ is the ultimate authority as the divine Son of God, manifested in the flesh on that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Hebrews presents Christ as infinitely superior to all the angels of heaven, as well as infinitely superior to Abraham or Moses or Joshua and the Levitical priests. Hebrews is divided into two major sections, a doctrinal section, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 18, and a personal and practical section, chapter 10, 19 to 13, 25. The doctrinal section contrasts Old Testament revelation with New Testament revelation. The Old Testament revelation set the stage for unveiling the sufficiency and superiority of Jesus Christ. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ, who would not only speak for God, but he speaks as God. He is the eternal God. This epistle explains the excellence of Christ in his person, his priesthood, his preeminence, and his purpose for coming to earth on that very first Christmas. This epistle was written primarily to Jewish believers, some of whom were thinking about returning to Judaism. They were making bad decisions. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. It also encourages them to stay with Christ, stay with the Word of God, and grow up in to spiritual maturity in Christ, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And it shows that Christ is infinitely better than what Judaism has to offer. Even today, the book of Hebrews reminds Jewish believers that Christ is infinitely superior to anything they had in Judaism, and that he is sufficient for every area of their spiritual lives. Well, the first part is Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, and that presents the incomparable Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Verse 1 sounds like this in exegesis and corrected translation. In many parts of the Old Testament and in many various ways, long ago, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets, and at that point we started summarizing verse 1 and we've studied the first 9 points in our summary. We noted that the writer of the epistle wasted no time at all in making his point without any salutation at the beginning of the book. He immediately began setting forth the progression of God's revelation through the prophets. All we know about God came directly from him. If God had not spoken, humanity would have no clue as to his person, his nature, his essence, or his will for mankind. Nor would people know the truth about creation. Therefore, over time, God progressively revealed himself through the prophets, who accurately recorded the revelation revealing God and his will for mankind. God did not set aside the prophets' personalities, languages, or cultures when he providentially guided each one to reveal an aspect of his word. All scripture is God-breathed, infallible, inerrant, plenary, and verbal, as originally given. As the very Word of God, Scripture possesses the properties of authority, sufficiency, clarity, and efficacy. Verse 1 declares that the revelation from God came in many parts of the Old Testament and in various ways to the fathers. That's the first 9 points we have on summary of verse 1. Now we start at point 10. Point 10, often God gave the revelation directly to men, such as Abraham or Moses or Isaiah and Ezekiel. So often times God gave the revelation directly to men. Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. 11. God also spoke to the prophets through dreams and visions. And we're studying that in our Tuesday night class in Zechariah. Starts right out with 8 visions in the first 6 chapters of Zechariah. So God also spoke to the prophets through dreams and visions. Now, he's not speaking to any of you in your dreams at night. You might, I don't want to hear what you dreamt about. 12. And other times he spoke through a storm, fire in a bush, or an audible voice. Other times he spoke through a storm or a fire in a bush or an audible voice. 13. The Old Testament was inerrant truth from God. It was inerrant truth from God, absolute truth. But it is not all the truth that God would reveal to mankind. The Old Testament was absolute truth, inerrant truth from God, but it is not all the truth that God was going to reveal to man. What was revealed in the Old Testament set the stage for unveiling the sufficiency and superiority of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. So what was revealed in the Old Testament set the stage for unveiling the sufficiency and superiority of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Four hundred years after the close of the Hebrew Scriptures. 400 years after the close of the Hebrew Scriptures, God would continue His revelation to mankind, but now through Jesus Christ. 400 years after the close of the Hebrew Scriptures, God would continue His revelation to mankind, but now through His eternal Son, Jesus Christ. 16. As a result of that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, this was all God the Father's perfect plan in Operation Grace, the plan of salvation. God the Father designed the plan of salvation, and in that perfect plan of salvation, Operation Grace, it called for the eternal Son of God to leave heaven, to leave glory, to humble himself and take on true humanity, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. By taking on true humanity, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, now the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The unique person of the universe, the theanthropic God, undiminished deity, true humanity united in one person forever. Deity can't die. So Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on humanity to go to a cross. And then he willingly received the sins of the whole world and the judgment on those sins, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. So, point 16. As the result of that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the unique person of the universe, the God-man, Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever, he will continue God's revelation to mankind. As a result of that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, he would continue God's revelation to mankind. 17. The revelation to the Hebrew prophets was partial and periodic. The revelation to the Hebrew prophets was partial and periodic. 18. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ, who would not only speak for God, but speak as God. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ, who would not only speak for God, but as God. All right. Now back to the incomparable Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. We've exegeted verse 1. Now we continue with our exegesis in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. So again, verse 1 says, in many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways long ago, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets. But now verse 2, hath. How many of you use hath? See? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is the prepositional phrase epi plus the genitive singular of eschatos plus the genitive plural of hamera with the definite article plus the genitive plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the aorist active indicative of laleo plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of huios. All right, we start out with the prepositional phrase epi plus the genitive. Epi plus the genitive case, E-P-I. And epi plus the genitive sometimes sometimes refers to place and answers the question where. And when it's used that way, it's translated on or upon. However, other times, epi plus the genitive, which is what we have, refers to time. And that's how it's used in our verse. And it means in the time of. In the time of. And the object of the preposition epi is eschatos ton hemeron touton, which is often translated in these last days. That's how it's often translated. But, point one, literally this says in the last of these days. And that's how it should be translated. In the last of these days. Two, it specifically refers to the rest of history. It specifically refers to the rest of history. So, point three. You have the Old Testament canon. Then you have the rest of history. You have the Old Testament canon. Then you have the rest of history. For the rest of history, God reveals himself through the incarnate Christ. The incarnate Christ. The unique person of the universe, the theanthropic Christ, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Five, when Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world, God, through him, fully expressed the revelation of himself and his word to mankind. When Jesus the Messiah came into the world, God through him fully expressed the revelation of himself and his word to mankind. In fact, there's a word that describes Jesus Christ revealing the Father. It's the word exegeo. Guess what exegeo is? Exegeted. Jesus Christ exegeted the Father. How awesome is that? So when Jesus the Messiah came into the world, God through him fully expressed the revelation of himself and his word to mankind. Six. In other words, in the last days, the messianic promises God gave the fathers in the Old Testament came to completion and fulfillment in and through Jesus the Messiah. In other words, in the last days, the messianic promises that God gave the fathers in the Old Testament came to completion and fulfillment in and through Jesus the Messiah. Seven. In the past, the Old Testament, God spoke to mankind through the prophets. In the past, the Old Testament, God spoke to mankind through the prophets. But now, God speaks exclusively through his Son. the Son has exegeted the Father to mankind to see exactly who and what he is. Now, once again, the preposition "en," the preposition "en" plus the dative, let me get that up here. "En" plus the dative. "En" plus the dative is correctly translated "through," by means of, or through huios, 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 Son, through or by means of his Son. The dative of the personal pronoun ego is to us. To us. So in the last of these days, he, God the Father, has communicated to us through his Son, by means of his Son. Now this is very, very powerful. In the last of these days, he, God the Father, has laleoed, communicated to us through his Son, by means of his Son. So, one, we just have huios. We have no definite article. And that's very important. And you will never know this if you're a pastor not studying from the original autographs, Koine Greek in the New Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament. You wouldn't know if the definite article is here or not. When the definite article is there, it's used for identification. When it's not there, it's putting the spotlight on the quality of the noun. And the noun is the Son. Is putting a spotlight on the quality of Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. It makes this whole passage more powerful. So there is no definite article with huios, the word for Son. So point two, this puts the spotlight on the quality of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Puts the spotlight on the quality of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, point three, the absence of the article before the word huios, Son, puts the spotlight on the essence of the Son, the attributes of the Son. He has the essence of God. He has the same attributes as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. He has the very same essence as the Father and the very same essence as the Holy Spirit. So it puts the spotlight on the Son's essence, his attributes, his character, his nature, and his hypostatic union. Four, in the past, God revealed himself through prophets who were mere men. In the past, God revealed himself through prophets who were mere men. But Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He possesses the nature and the attributes of deity. And he is the one through whom God is speaking in these last days. So just starting out, no salutation, just starting out, boom, 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 boom. And I'm just going, wow, 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 wow. So in the past, God revealed himself through prophets who were mere men. But Jesus is the eternal Son of God, possesses the nature and the attributes of deity, and he is the one through whom God is speaking in these last days. 5. The prophets spoke the word of God, taught the word of God, the written word. But the Son is the living word of God. The Son is both the living word of God and eternal God. The prophets spoke the written word of God, but the Son is the living word of God and eternal God. Turn over to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. And most people don't even see what is actually here again. If you study this in the Koine Greek, it is just blows your mind. It's fantastic. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, was, and that word was is the to be verb, eimi, E-I-M-I, and eimi is in the imperfect tense. Imperfect tense. And you translate it, in the beginning, which was not a beginning, eternally existing was the word. Was the eternally existing logos. Logos is the Greek word for word. And here, it's the living word. The eternal Son of God is the living word. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, was the eternally existing word. And the word, the logos, Jesus Christ, eimi, once again, was eternally existing, pros plus the accusative, face to face with God the Father. And the Word, the Logos, was the eternally existing God. That is powerful, powerful, powerful. John 1, verse 1. So the prophets taught the Word of God, but the Son is both the living Word of God and the eternally existing God. John 1, verse 1. 6. Thus, it is Jesus, the Son of God, who expresses the New Testament revelation of all that the Father is and wants revealed to mankind. Thus it is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who expresses the New Testament revelation of all that the Father is and wants revealed to mankind. Seven. God the Son, who is deity, who is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, has intimate fellowship with the Father. God the Son, who is deity and co-equal with God the Father, has intimate fellowship with the Father because he has the very same essence as the Father. Because he has the very same essence as the Father. Eight, it is Jesus who has exegeomai, the Father. E-K-S, long E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Exegeomai, we transliterate that, exegete. So it is Jesus who has exegeted God the Father, who has declared God the Father, who has perfectly explained God the Father. Nine, Jesus perfectly explains the works and the will of God the Father. Jesus perfectly explains the works and the will of God the Father. So, verse 1, in many parts of the Old Testament and in many various ways long ago, God having communicated to the fathers through the prophets, in the last of these days, verse 2, he, God the Father, has communicated to us through his Son. The writer of Hebrews then sets forth seven reasons why Jesus qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. Seven reasons. So now the writer of Hebrews sets forth seven reasons why Jesus qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. Reason number one, he is heir. Reason number two, he is the creator. Reason number three, he radiates God's glory. Reason number four, he represents God. Reason number five, he is the sustainer of the universe. Reason number six, he is the redeemer, the only savior of mankind. Reason number seven, he is ruler, king of all kings and lord of all lords, absolute authority. So there's seven reasons here. He is heir, he is the creator, he radiates God's glory, he represents God, he is the sustainer of the universe, he is the redeemer, the only savior. He is the ruler, the king of all kings, and lord of all lords. So, reason number one, he is heir, not A-I-R. Heir, H-E-I-R, heir. When he hath appointed heir, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. This is the accusative singular of the relative pronoun host, plus the aorist active indicative of the verb tithemi, plus the accusative singular of kleronimos, plus the genitive plural of pos. We have, start out, the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S, hosts. And it's correctly translated whom, and the antecedent of the relative pronoun host is huios, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we have the verb tithemi. T-I-T-H, long E-M-I, tithemi. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally, tithemi means to put or to place or to lay. That's literally. Point two, figuratively, which is how tithemi is used in our verse, it means to make someone something. To make someone something, it means to destine someone to or for something, to destine someone to or for something. And third, it means to appoint someone to or for something. So here it's used figuratively, and it means to make someone something, to destine someone to or for something, to appoint someone to or for something. Three, the subject of the verb, atithemi, is God the Father. So God the Father is the subject. In other words, point four, God the Father has appointed his Son, his eternal Son, as kleronimos ponton. Five, kleronimos plus the genitive plural of pos. That's K-L, long E-R-O-N-O-M-O-S, and then P-A-S, kleronimos pos. Kleronimos plus the genitive plural of pos is correctly translated heir of all things. Heir of all things. Six, as the eternal Son of God the Father, Christ is the heir of all things. As the eternal Son of God the Father, Christ is the heir of all things. Seven, behind heirship is the authority to be Lord over all the Father possesses. Behind heirship is the authority to be Lord over all the Father possesses. And we studied Psalm 2 many moons ago, but turn over to Psalm 2. Great, great psalm. Psalm 2, we'll start at verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord, God the Father. He said to me, God the Son, you are my Son. Today I have become your Father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. Extremely powerful. So behind the doctrine of heirship is the authority to be Lord over all the Father possesses. 8. Heir of all things include everything in the universe, both now and for eternity. Heir of all things include everything in the universe, both now and for eternity. 9. Christ must be God in order to rule forever over the universe. Christ must be God, and He is the eternal Son of God, in order to rule forever over the universe. Ten. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was there when the appointment was made. He was there when the decrees were decreed. Jesus Christ was there when the appointment was made. He was there when the decrees were decreed. As a part of the divine decree, Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. Our verse. In the last of these days, He, God the Father, has lalaod, communicated to us through His Son, whom the Lord Jesus Christ, He, God the Father, appointed Him heir of all things. Appointed Him heir of all things. Our verse, Hebrews 1:2. Now, you have probably wondered many times why Christ is called the Son of God. Does that make Him inferior to the Father? Absolutely not. It makes Him the heir. It makes Him the heir of all things. 12. Sonship means heirship. Heirship is based on sonship. Sonship means heirship, and heirship is based on sonship. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself, that's God the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, sons of God. And if children, heirs also. heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So sonship means heirship. Heirship is based on sonship. Turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. At that moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are sons of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, the moment of faith in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ through, and you do through faith in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are heirs according to promise. Sonship means heirship. Heirship is based on sonship. Romans 8, 16 and 17, Galatians 3, 26 to 29, 13. To inherit from God, one must possess the eternal life of God. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ, which makes you a son of God and an heir. Turn over to Titus. Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 verse 7. So that having been justified by His grace, justification by faith, at the moment of your faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous, justified. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the confidence of eternal life. So to inherit from God, one must possess the eternal life of God, Titus 3, 7. 14, heirship is related to the doctrine of predestination, which is step 2 of the 5 steps of glory in our Sunday class in Romans 8. Heirship is related to the doctrine of predestination. Turn over to Ephesians 1, 11. Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Heirship is related to the doctrine of predestination. And 15, heirship is related to the doctrine of election to privilege. And that's the third step to glory in Romans 8. And that's in Hebrews 9, verse 15. Hebrews 9, verse 15. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are elected to privilege may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So, in the last of these days, he, God the Father, has communicated to us through his Son, whom the Lord Jesus Christ, he, God the Father, appointed heir of all things. So, the first reason why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation is that he is heir of all things. That brings us to the second reason. The second reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is qualified to be the final communicator of divine revelation is that he is the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe, infinitely superior to the prophets of old. And we'll start there with reason number two next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.